This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Well, hello and welcome into New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a three pillars of protection program with Ted Alatsis over at Alatsis Law Firm. And today we're going to dive into the mailbag. You know, I'm sure you get a lot of questions all the time, Ted, and we're going to encourage people to send them in to us as well. If you have anything that you just want to ask, you know, you listen to an episode and you say, hey, there's been something I've been thinking about, please don't hesitate. AlatsisLawFirm.com is the website. There's a contact link there. You can send it in to us through that, and we'll bring them onto the show and ask them there. So should be a good show today. But I wanted to just kind of start things off, Ted. You know, we talked about your trip to Barbados, our last episode. But anything else big on the horizon for 2022? I know a lot of people are hoping for either big travel or just to kind of get back out and do some things. Is there anything big on your schedule this year?
Yeah, so there are. And Ben, thanks for having me again. There a couple of things, actually. You know, one of the things that I didn't get to do enough of during the pandemic is get out and play some golf. So I've made a commitment to do that, you know, significantly more this year. That's number one. And I think the second is we haven't really, my family and I haven't really had an opportunity to go visit our family in Greece, which, you know, we had planned to do literally the year the pandemic started. And so, you know, my grandma, who just turned 101, you know, we'd love to see her again if we can. So that's kind of an objective for some point during the summer.
That's wonderful. 101 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Is your wife Greek as well?
Yeah, she is. She is.
I love it. Well, hopefully able to get over there and see some family. I know a lot of people have been able to spend more time with family this year or plan to do so as well. So should be great. But today we're going to talk with some mailbag questions. And again, these can kind of range all over the place. I know you focus on a number of different areas of law, asset protection, estate planning. We did an episode last time on wills and trusts, which I recommend you go back and check out if you have any questions or want to get a better understanding of those two documents. But got three questions today. I want to start off with this one from Robert, who asks, how do I decide who to name as my executor? I have three adult children and I trust all of them. I don't want to hurt any feelings or be unfair.
So I can't tell you how often I get that question, right? So, and it's three children, four children, two children. It's always, you know, I want to be fair and I want to choose the right person. So there really is no right or wrong answer to this question. The idea behind the executor is you want to select the person who you think is first, the most responsible and going to be the one that's going to be able to, you know, follow through with your wishes. So if you have one child specifically, that, you know, is more familiar with your finances and more familiar with your banking and more familiar with where all your things are and what your wishes are and knows, you know, what those wishes are in advance, then perhaps you lean towards that one particular child. You do have options. You can certainly set up an executorship that is either a joint or, you know, co-executorship. But when you do something like that, you have to understand that a lot of times it's going to require two or three people having to sign things at the same time. And it's hard to do in this modern age to get three people in the room at the same time to sign things, right? So you want to try to, you know, if you can, streamline it to one particular person. The most important thing you need to do in every type of estate plan, I think, including in the selection of an executor, is have that conversation with the family, right? Have that, sit everyone down and say, look, I'm going to select, you know, son A or daughter B or, you know, whoever, right? Because they know where everything is, right? And it's no offense and no slight on any of you. You're all still going to get what you're going to get. But I trust this person just to be the one to make sure things get done. Most people have that one child or one person who is that step-up person, that person who steps up all the time when you need something, right? And so that really should be your guiding light in that.
How many times do the parents actually involve the children in that decision in terms of sitting them down and saying, hey, do any of you want to be the executor? Does that ever play a part, or should you be the one that solely makes that decision?
If one person wants to do it, then, and if you've had that conversation and everyone else is comfortable with it, then by all means, that's a great way of doing it. At the end of the day, if you have the conversation, it's really about having the conversation. If you have the conversation, you'll be able to select the person. You'll be able to find the right one. You know, and being afraid of slighting someone is one of the biggest hesitations that people have in doing estate planning altogether, right? So they want to do the estate plan, they want to do the will, they want to do the trust, but they don't want to annoy one of the children or feel that one child is getting, preferential treatment over the other. And so they struggle with it. And that struggling causes the inertia of not doing anything at all, right? That's a mistake. So you really should just have that conversation with your children. Believe me, your children will feel better having had the conversation. All right. And, when everything's more straightforward in that regard, it just works so much better.
Well, communication is key, Robert. And we thank you for your question. Hopefully that helps you. If you have any additional questions for Ted, again, 718-233-2903. All right, here's one from Darlene. She says, my mother's health is failing. I'm one of four children, and her estate plan divides everything into four equal shares. However, my mother has loaned thousands of dollars to my younger brother over the years, and he has never paid her back. I don't think it's fair for him to get 25% of what's left on top of that money mom already gave him. I'm going to be the executor when mom dies. Is there anything I can do to make this right?
Wow. So this is a very common scenario, right? And there was actually a recent article, I believe in Esquire magazine, but I don't quote me on it, but the topic was very similar. And that was, what happens in that scenario, right? You don't want to be, parents have an interesting dilemma, right? They want to do what's quote unquote fair. And fairness isn't necessarily, every child getting the same. Because, in a scenario like, Darlene's, one child has already taken an advance to a certain extent on that estate. So it goes back to what we talked about with Robert, and that is communication, right? So the first thing that has to happen really is a straightforward conversation about that particular subject. You can be in a situation where Darlene's mother, or I think it's Darlene's mother, had loaned the money. You can put something in the will or the trust that references that advance. You can put together documents that are, essentially loan documents that indicate that has happened. There may be other documents that can be prepared that evidence that $75,000 has been advanced. But when you have a scenario where none of that exists and the will says everything goes equally, it could become very difficult to do anything about that $75,000. So, Darlene, I would tell you what you need to do is have a conversation with your mom about how you want to best go about dealing with that particular subject, and then, modifying the documents to reflect it.
Yeah, tough situation indeed, Darlene. We wish you the best in dealing with that, but just know that it happens often, and there is help there with Ted and his firm, and can help you out if you have any additional questions on that. But good luck to you with that, and bless your mother. All right, how about this one from Cindy? My husband and I did our estate plan 10 years ago after our youngest son was born. We now have three children. Do we need to update or review our plan? We never heard from our attorney, and he never told us what to do if our lives change.
All right. So, yes, I think you definitely should, modify that plan, Cindy, only because it'll be cleaner, in the future, right? If you have only one child named, depending on the language in the documents, it may create a problem for your other children if you intend on leaving them something in your estate. So what you really need to do is, get your documents to your lawyer, have them reviewed just to see, what the language is, and then, modify. If it's a matter of a will, then it's really just a matter of either doing a codicil, which is a sort of an addendum to a will, or, redoing the will. And if it's a trust, a living trust, or, something or a revocable trust of some kind, again, same thing about, additions or modifications to either of the documents. One of the great things about estate plans is that, and depending on the types of estate plans, is that you can always modify them. You can always make changes to them while you're alive. It's when you're gone that you can't change them. Right. So you want to try to make sure they're right while you're alive.
Oh, good question as well. So we do appreciate that from you, Cindy. So again, some just common questions that come across, but we do appreciate Robert, Darlene, and Cindy for sending those in today to us. And if you have anything for us, always send it in. LatsisLawFirm.com. That is the website. When you're on there, you'll see the option to contact. There's also a blog, a lot of good free info available there as well, and a lot of information on what Ted and his team does day-to-day for their clients. But again, I recommend you go back to our previous podcast, including our first one, to get to know the business a little bit better and the goals for the podcast as we move forward here. We're early on, just two episodes in, Ted, but you've done a very good job so far. And I would also encourage everyone to please subscribe to the show too. Wherever you listen, whether it be Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, you'll find the show on every major podcasting platform. So that'll do it for this episode. We'll do another mailbag in the future, Ted. I think this is very helpful to kind of hear some specific scenarios and then work through them.
Ben, terrific as always. And yes, thank you. I'd love to hear from our listeners.
So for Ted Alatsis, I am Ben George. This has been New York's Asset Protection Roundtable. We'll talk to you again on the next episode.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.